Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Monday, March 16th. Today, we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 24, reading the fourth paragraph, which begins with, "When this form of thinking is fully established in an individual," and ends with, "So many want to stop, but they can't." Today's readers are Carrie W. for the 12 Steps, Penny L. C. for the 12 Traditions, Robin P. will read and comment on our share, and Alice G. will close us out with page 164. Also grateful for our newcomer greeter, Alex K., and Shelley E. will close us out with some announcements today. The reference number for yesterday's special edition is 23287. That's 23287. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23288. That's 23288. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Carrie W. to please read the 12 steps.
Carrie W. from California. Good morning. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, or powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, we humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, we continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very much, Carrie W. And Penny L.C., will you please read the 12 traditions of OA for us?
Yes, thank you, Elaine, for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities pass.
Thank you very much, Penny Elsie. Appreciate your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 24, reading the fourth paragraph, and I will now ask Robin P. to please begin reading for us.
Thank you so much, Elaine. Thanks for your service. Hi, I'm Robin P., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Franklin, Tennessee. When this sort of thinking is fully established in an individual with alcoholic tendencies, he has probably placed himself beyond human aid, and unless locked up, may die or go permanently insane. These stark and ugly facts have been confirmed by legions of alcoholics throughout history. But for the grace of God, there would have been thousands more convincing demonstrations. So many want to stop, but cannot. Wow, this was definitely my story until I came into the meetings and to Vision 10 years ago. And, I just was beyond human aid and beyond my own aid. And I had tried treatment centers. I felt like that was the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result. And this day would be different. Oh, this time I wouldn't. How did that happen? Felt like Russian roulette. I was so completely powerless. But I didn't have a power greater than the food. And it was my God. It was my go-to when anything happened. And it failed me completely. It just literally took over my life. And it was just me and the food. I'm just so eternally grateful. I was a really low-bottom bulimic. And to be abstinent for 10 years is just such a miracle beyond words. And the grace of God. Literally, but for the grace of God, I would still be, I don't know if I would still be alive. I don't know what condition I would be in. I would be, I didn't even have any friends. I just had the food. It was just so, I grew up in a lot of trauma and I just hadn't worked it through and I'm still working it through one day at a time. I'm just eternally grateful. But today I have friends. I have family. I have so many people who I love and care about and love and care about me. I'm productive. I'm using my gifts for good. I'm taking brave actions today. You know, with God's grace, my life is completely the opposite. You know, I was on Broadway for a long time when I was younger. I thought I was retired, and God said, you don't retire your gifts. So in abstinence, I'm auditioning. My dream is to perform at the West End. I'm going for my dream. That's in London, so I need my visa, so I'm going for my visa. And, you know, just all these miracles, showing up for life fully. And that's literally by the grace of God, the whole thing. One day at a time, abstinently, working my program, reaching up, reaching out, and letting God do for me what I could not do for myself. And, you know, I'm just so grateful for all of you. You're literally just my human angels. I feel like you're angel people in my life. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for vision. And I pray that everyone has a very blessed, abstinent day and a pass.
Well, thanks for getting it started. Thank you so much. Appreciate your share, Robin. Okay, so we value everyone's experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on page 24, the fourth paragraph, which begins with, when this form of thinking is fully established in an individual and ends with, so many want to stop but can't. We're going to take a lineup. If you'd like to share, please give me your name and where you're calling from.
Stephanie L. in Georgia.
Amy M.C. from Massachusetts.
I got Amy M.C. and I didn't get the person who spoke before them.
Stephanie L.
Stephanie L.
Lisa N.
Lisa M. And where are you calling from?
Elaine S.
Hang on just a second. Elaine S.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Courtney J.
Courtney J.
Yep.
Who was that that just shared their name?
Deborah G.
I didn't. Deborah G. Anybody else in this lineup?
Shelly J. from Florida.
Shelly J. Okay, let me tell you who I've got. I've got Amy, MC, I believe, Stephanie L., Lisa N., Elaine S., Courtney J., Deborah G., and Shelly J. in Florida. So that's a great lineup. Let's start with Amy, and you'll be followed by Stephanie L.
Hi, this is Amy MC, recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. You know, I heard in a meeting recently that, going back to the paragraph above, and, you know, this book is just so relatable, right? When I first came in to Vision, I was blown away by this idea that people, one, identified as recovered, and two, you know, I still didn't get it, right? Like, we're talking about food people. They're talking about alcohol. I don't understand. And then a change happened. I trusted in God, and I could see myself right here on this page. I could see myself. I do this with food. I'm a compulsive overeater, right? I have to check myself at the door. I was making plans with a friend, and, you know, right away what comes up is, okay, well, we have to go somewhere where I can get abstinent food. Like, that's the first thought, guys. It used to be, oh, yay, I get to go out to dinner. No, it's, where shall we go? Let's think about some options of food choices that we both like that I can weigh and measure my food. I don't have to numb myself with food. I get to be present for my friend. I get to say, yeah, let's do that. No, I can't do that. That doesn't have a food option for me. I was talking to another friend in program earlier today, and she was talking about a food item that she has, and when she has it, you know, it talks to her. And I had to stop and think, honey, what's your red light food? Like, is that a red light food that's occupying this headspace? I need this program. I need all of you. I need every single step, every single day, so I can get humble and I can get right-sized. I can hear God speaking to me, saying, come to me. Come to me first. Don't come to me last, honey. Don't numb yourself out with the food. It doesn't do anything. It has no effect. I thankfully just hit 15 years in program. And in 15 years, I haven't consciously picked up those trigger foods, those red light foods. But for the grace of God, there go I. What has happened? I've had to continue to enlarge my spiritual life. That means, you know, finding vision for you, going through the steps with the big book, with this book that scared the bejesus out of me. I couldn't even understand what it was saying, let alone this recovered thing. But like I also heard in a meeting earlier today, thank you, I heard that, there was something different, something intrigued me. I wanted to keep coming back, so I did, and I do, and I get to recover today. I get the blessing because I keep giving it and I keep showing up. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Amy MC in Massachusetts. Okay, Stephanie L., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Lisa M.
Good morning, everyone. This is Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater only by the grace of God here in Southern California. And oh my gosh, I listened to the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, and man, the shares on that meeting were amazing. And then, you know, so far today, and Robin, thank you so much for getting us started with such a powerful share. And so many want to stop but cannot, and that was me. Okay, there was I tried everything. You know, like, I'll tell you, I gained and lost 100 pounds multiple times before I got to OA. And once I was in OA, because, you know, I sponsor hopped, I program hopped, I food plant, like I was running from thing to thing, different meetings, different factions of OA, and nothing worked. I wanted desperately, I thought I wanted desperately to stop, because here's the truth, you guys. I wanted to be able to control and enjoy my food. I wanted to eat whatever I wanted without the consequences. And that's the honest truth, right? I wanted to want to really stop. And this disease beat me into a place of submission and reasonableness, right? Because I had to really get to that place, that first half of step one, you know, that I am truly powerless, that, you know, it's not going to be just a little bit more right now and it'll be fine because I've been okay for a period of time. And, you know, it's like that paragraph earlier on the page, the italicized paragraph, I can't remember the consequences. I can't remember what could happen if I take that bite. And I would take that bite and believe that, you know, it was going to be different this time. You know, there was nothing within my human power or any other human power that could fix this problem. You know, and I'm so grateful today, as was already shared, you know, through working these steps out of this book to find that spiritual power, that, you know, that spiritual solution, the God of my understanding, that higher power that I choose to call God, until I was willing to follow the directions, the simple directions in this book, and, you know, and really believe that, you know, I and nobody else could fix this. It was then that, you know, that I started cooperating with God. You know, and that's an amazing thing, and I'm so grateful today and so blessed to be here this morning to hear all these beautiful, inspirational shares, and thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Stephanie L. Okay, Lisa N., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Elaine S. Please share with us, Lisa.
Hey, good morning. This is Lisa N., a recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. Really happy to have today off and to be with y'all live. And when am I not going to be amazed at every single paragraph? I hopefully never. One of the parts that sticks out to me is to be locked up. I wanted to be locked up. You know, I mean, I can remember, but then even when I was locked up, because I have been locked up, I still could find the food, but I can remember devising these insane plans. You know, I've shared on here before, in our home, we have a pantry that locks. I would give the key to my husband. I would give the key to my children. I remember one time my husband went out of town. I gave the key to a neighbor. I mean, who does that kind of stuff? I can remember putting signs, big poster board signs on chairs in the middle of the hall so I wouldn't go to the refrigerator, go to the pantry, wherever in the middle of the night. I wanted to be locked up. I wanted to be safe, you know, kept from the food. That is insanity, and it is sadness. And if anybody out there is struggling, man, there is such a better way. There is such a better way. There's such an easier way. You know, I've been in this program for 24 years, in this program and other food programs. The only thing I never tried that I was willing to try, it's two things: entire abstinence coupled with complete surrender and following the guidance of a sponsor who I know God, my higher power, was working through. Man, it made it so easy, you know. So I'm so grateful for that freedom today. I talk to people, I talk to, you know, fellows almost on a daily basis. So many want to stop but cannot. Man, this disease is just heartbreaking. It really is. But there's so much hope. You know, so that's my message today to anybody that's struggling. There is so much hope. Don't leave. You know, if you do leave, come back. I like to think of, I stayed alive long enough to hear the message and to get the grace of God. Anyway, grateful to be with y'all today. Hi, Kath.
Thank you so much, Lisa Ann. Elaine S., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Courtney J. Please share with us, Elaine.
Good morning. Thanks for your service. My name is Elaine S. I'm a recovered compulsive reader, and I'm from Tennessee. I just love the truth in this paragraph as we look at it. When this sort of thinking is fully established, well, what sort of thinking is this? If we go back, it's the thinking of what we experience when we're in the mental blank spot, when we don't think, when we just act, when we're unable to remember what food does to us, when we think it's going to be different this time. You know, when I see that in myself, then it says I've placed myself beyond human aid. Beyond human aid. And then these are stark and ugly facts. You know, I spent a lot of years in relapse. And what made the difference finally was to face the truth. I had to call out the lies I was telling myself. They were stark and ugly facts. And what got me out of relapse was to face the truth and then to take the action laid out in the big book as my sponsor laid it out to me. And did that make a difference? It's been an amazing journey. I've been clean with the food now over 2.5 years. I'm down 89 pounds from my top weight, and it's quiet in my head. but it didn't come until I faced the truth about what was really true, not what I wanted it to be. You know, I'm 5'2". I've always wanted to be 5'10". And what if I bought clothes for a 5'10 person and tried to walk around? I'd be falling. I'd be tripping. My friends would say, Elaine, they make nice things for people who are 5'2". I had to accept that. I had to accept what is. And I only found recovery when I accepted what was true about this disease as it related to me. It didn't matter if I wanted it to be true. Like, I don't want to be 5'2", but I am. I had to accept that. And then the freedom came. It was so dark before the dawn, so dark, of every day saying, I'm not going to eat today. And then by 10 o'clock, be eating the house down. There were so many things I needed to be honest about. And when I was, recovery began to happen for me. And today, it's quiet in my head. So quiet. And I'm so thankful. Thanks so much for letting me share. I'm Elaine S. in Tennessee. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elaine S. in Tennessee. Courtney J., you're up next. Do let us know where you're calling from, and you'll be followed by Deborah G. Please share with us, Courtney J.
Hey there. Thank you. Thank everybody for your service to have this meeting happen. This is Courtney J., currently in North Carolina. I'm on the meeting list in Virginia. Let's see. Where do I begin, right? So I'm going to borrow what somebody said earlier. I don't know for sure that I wanted to stop. I wanted to keep eating what I wanted to keep eating. I'm a raging sugar addict as well, and not have the consequences of doing that. I've never had to lose a whole lot of weight, so my physical being was fooled me a lot. Because I could look good on the outside, but I was a raging, you know, sugar addict and crazy woman with food on in my brain. So let's see. So that's the one, the words that spoke out to me. So many want to stop but cannot. Nope, I wanted what you all had, could relate to everything in this big book when it was changed to food. And but I didn't want to do the work, and I certainly didn't want to stop eating my trigger foods. Let's see. I wanted to go to, you know, what back then was called a fat farm. You know, we would joke about that perhaps, but yeah, I wanted to be locked up, and you know, I would tell my husband, you know, take me away. And then, you know, later on, I even stopped telling my husband that I was starting again to eat right, because, you know, why would he believe that again when so many times I caved? And I didn't tell him this last time. You know, I have been gratefully blessed with abstinence and honesty since the month of June in 2025. So I say I'm recovered but not cured. And, you know, working a perfectly imperfect program, but oh my word, I'm living three meals a day and life in between and a life that I would never dream for myself. In fact, when I started again in June, I was living a beautiful life, except there was a moment of spirit that said, Courtney, but you still don't have joy. And the reason I didn't have joy was because I was in these rooms, been in the rooms for 30 years, but still wasn't working it like it's meant to be worked. And that's the day that I have God bumps. That's my day that I called and shared with somebody what I just said, and we are working together to this day. So, yeah, I was killing myself alive, you know. Just bury me alive is what I was doing. Because I wasn't living my truth, which is in this book as a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. And I knew that, but I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop doing what I was doing. I couldn't stop from starting, and I couldn't I couldn't stop from, what do they say? Another slogan. I can't stay stopped, and I can't stop from starting eating my trigger foods. But today, I'm blessed. I'm calm. I'm quiet. I have joy, and I have my fellows. And thanks again for being there for me.
Thank you for sharing your. Thank you, Courtney J. in North Carolina. Deborah G., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Shelly J. in Florida. Let us know where you're calling from, Deborah G.
Oh, hey, good morning, everyone. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you so much for your service leading us today and everyone that's made this meeting possible and all the shares that have shared so far, 12-stepping me. I appreciate you all so much. And welcome to any newcomers on the line. I'm so glad you're with us today. And I can relate to that. I'm a compulsive overeater, anorexic. And I can relate to that desperation, to that darkness, to that the feeling of just not being part of life, not being connected to others. Just, I was not in other programs, but not fully connected to my divine loving power, present source that I am now. And I was trying to control the whole thing. And even not having awareness that I was trying to control. You know, I have glimpses of it, you know, and see how I'm driving to get this and I'm can't wait to get some more of that, or, you know, it was just like a driving force. I was driving the car, and there was a driving force within me to get this and get it in my body and get it in there fast, and having the experience of the flavor of it, you know, the craving. I couldn't stop because I kept putting it in over and over and over. I can't even say that I had any abstinence, because I never did any thing for recovery. So I never was in recovery. I was continually still in the disease thinking, which was insanity of thinking I can control it, and the so much efforting and the attempts that I tried. And then it wasn't until I finally woke up and also realized I had heard somebody tell me of one of my alcoholic foods, and I still wouldn't put it down. I kept doing it. And it was the big daddy of them all. And I just couldn't. And then finally, you know, I feel like it was just a process. Finally, I woke up one day in the middle of doing a step workshop and in the middle of doing the OA Vision meetings, that I saw reality. I finally had the awareness. I came to, had a fork in one hand, a salt shaker in the other, and I was salting every single bite of food I was putting in my mouth. And I saw that I need help. And I called someone to get help, to take me through these beautiful 12 steps. And it was done to me, not by me. Have a beautiful, blessed day, everyone.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. Appreciate your service. And Shelly J. from Florida, please share with us.
Thank you. Shelly J., recovering in Florida. So much has been said already, but I'm thinking back about my own journey and reading the first sentence in this paragraph about, you know, what sort of thinking is fully established. And boy, just those words are enough for me to be able to show. And I too had to look back to the previous paragraph and say, okay, well, what sort of thinking are they talking about? And they talk about the nonchalant way of thinking about food and thinking about eating. And when I look at my own history, that's how it happens to me. And I've been in the 12-step room since 1983,
done a lot of different brands of food recovery, all the different facets, had great recovery for a lot of years. But my story has been that I would every now and then get that mental blank spot and think, I can have a little bit of this. Oh, surely I can have, you know, I'll just do it tonight. Years and years and years of that process. And for me, this type of thinking, I can look back and see where it became fully established in me. It became a stronghold for me when I got married. I got married very young. I was 20. My husband was 33. That was a big age difference in those years. And there were a lot of challenges and adjustments that came. I came right from my parents' home into being married and owning my own home. And I couldn't deal with life. I couldn't deal with the challenges. And food went from being a comfort and a friend to becoming my master and a stronghold. That's when it happened for me, when life became too big for me to handle. Fast forward all these years of being in recovery, and every now and then I still pick up. I've been coming to these meetings for 50 days today and following the plan as defined by the big book. I did go to a couple of Herb K workshops and really learned an awful lot about the big book and also the Hyannis method of big book, but still that mental blank spot would happen. And maybe there's other people out there that had this thinking too, so I'm just going to throw it out there. I realized this time around in coming to vision the lie that I was believing. I had established a personal relationship with God 2 years prior to coming into 12 steps over 45 years ago. And I thought that God could give me the power to handle the food just this once. And it wasn't until recently in doing some journaling that God revealed to my heart and said, my daughter, you've got it all wrong. My power is not to be given for you to do something that's clearly not my will to you. It's not my will. Thank you. To be engaged in the stronghold. My power is to help you not to pick up this food. So with that, I'll pass, and I'm very glad to be here. Shelly J from Florida.
Thank you so much, Shelly J. Okay, we have time for at least 3, maybe 4 more shares. If you would like to comment on page 24, the fourth paragraph, when this form of thinking is fully established and ending with so many want to stop but cannot. If you'd like to share, press star 1 to unmute. And remember, if you have shared in the last couple meetings, then you want to share every third day. Who was that again, the gentleman?
Atriel from Trump.
Oh, could you spell your name for me?
Yeah, Casriel, Casriel.
Casriel, thank you. And where did you say you're calling from?
Toronto.
Toronto, Canada? Great.
Yeah.
Anybody else want to get in this? Anybody else want in this lineup?
Darian K.
Darian K. Anybody else?
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Great. And we may have
Agnes K.
Okay. We may have room for you too, Agnes. I hope so. Okay.
Okay.
So, Caffrey L. in Toronto, please share with us, and you'll be followed by Darian K.
Okay. Thanks so much. Caffrey L., Closer Reader, you can hear me?
You sound great.
Okay, great. So this is my first time sharing this meeting. I'm very grateful. Just 4 months ago, I was in the food, and I couldn't get out of it. And, you know, my bridge was completely broken, and I didn't know how. I spent my whole life trying to use my own willpower to get myself out of it. Through diet, I probably lost 1,000 pounds over my life. I'm only 45. 4 months later, I worked the steps. Thank God I worked the steps. I've already sponsored many people and sponsoring others. And every single day I'm working the steps, doing outreach calls. I'm going to meetings, listening to recordings, My life has been completely transformed because of this program. It was God's grace that pushed me to come back to the program from a major relapse. You know, but I had done this before in the past, and I lost all the weight, and then self-will took over, and had a mental blank spot. And I thought, maybe I can do it on my own willpower right now. This time around, I'm trying to work a new program. I've looked at all my fears. I've looked at myself in the mirror and asked myself, what I need to do differently this time? And I've made major changes in the program, including weighing and measuring, including getting a dietitian. And my life has been transformed. Every day gets better and better. The grace of God, I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for this meeting, all the other meetings, and all the other things. I'm just so happy to be here. My name is Castriel, C-A-F-F-R-I-E-L, in Toronto. And, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Castriel. We're so glad you are here. Gary and Kay, glad you're here too. Please share with us, and you'll be followed by Jordan L.
Oh, good morning, Elaine. This is Darian Kay. I'm in the Berkshires in Massachusetts and gratefully recovered for today. And I'm so happy to be on the line with all of you this morning and being able to sit in my chair and share with you and listen intently. And so much I can relate to. I'm so glad that I can make a phone call and find my people. You know, I didn't read the reading, but I know people were talking about, like, quote-unquote, being locked up. And, you know, I could never think that way, but what my brain said, and it's sort of a metaphorically locked up situation, was being in the hospital and being on an IV so that I don't have to choose food and I can just get an IV and then I could lose weight. And if I were in there long enough, not eating, you know, and something else was controlling my food, my intake, you know, vitamins, whatever, I could lose weight. Or going to a, you know, a starving country, you know, not, again, not having the choices of the foods and losing weight that way. So, you know, in a way that's kind of locking yourself up, you know, from the world, really not, you know, wanting something else to control this cunning, baffling, and powerful disease. You know, I just looked up the word baffling and it's perplexed and confused and mysterious. And it is, it's just all of those things. I don't understand why it can have such a hold on us. It's, you know, and I never will, nor will it be any real revelation if I found out, because it's part of my DNA. It's part of my brain. It's part of my, you know, makeup. And, you know, the addictive nature of this disease is just part of me. And so, for today, at least I know the answer. Thank you, God. We're living in the solution. We are blessed. We are really blessed to be able to live in the solution and know that it doesn't take extreme measures to be free of this cunning, baffling, and powerful disease. It takes work, yes. It takes effort. It takes planning. It takes an action plan of some sort to be able to, you know, go on a daily basis through this world that we live in, crazy as it is, and not pick up the food. But it's all so worth it. It's so worth it. You know, today I can eat my breakfast and then not even think about food until lunchtime and then not even think about food till dinner and then go to bed all night long and wake up the next day. Like, that is still a miracle to me after almost 40 years. Like, I don't take any of that for granted. I am still so grateful. And, you know, again, I am just so glad that I can relate in with so many of you. And thank you so much for sharing and pressing star one, you know, for the first time. It's just so lovely to hear people recovering just like me and wanting this program as badly as I do. So thank you. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much. We have time for two-minute shares, so I hope that's okay. Jordan L., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Agnes.
Hey, good Jordan. Morning. Yeah, can you hear me?
You sound great.
Okay. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater.
in Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. I appreciate folks talking about the thinking, this thinking being established, because it's important that we have an understanding of what it is that's going on. An understanding, it's not a solution, but it is important that I have that is part of the deal here. I wanted to mention, because I don't think anyone has yet, about the bit here, as far as being beyond human aid. And honestly, if I had come into Overeaters Anonymous and someone had started with that, like they had come out of the gate with that, like some idea that I was beyond human aid, I would have ran in the other direction. I would have been like, this is some crazy cult and I need to get the heck out of here. So it's really important that we start with our own stories about what it is that we do with food and how it is that that thinking, that alcoholic thinking, got established, as far as who it is that can relate to our experience, you know, and having that sort of relatable start to Overeaters Anonymous. Because the fact of the matter is, like, being beyond human aid, it's a big deal, and there's a lot of work that comes after that. So thanks for letting me share. That's it.
Thank you so much. And Agnes, please share with us.
Hi. Can you hear me?
You sound great.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad I attended this meeting. It was exactly what I needed to hear this morning, and the reading of the shares just remind me, you know, again, that God does for me what I can't do for myself when it comes to compulsive overeating, you know. And yes, of course, with my experience, I was literally beyond human aid because I had tried everything, right? And then my experience is that when I face the truth and I find those alcoholic foods and I turn, I surrender, you know, that insanity to God and say, God, help me. He does it for me, what I'm unable to do for myself. Where I struggle is where the insanity rears its head and says, well, that's just a fruit. How bad can it be? That's just a this. How bad can it be? You haven't identified it as your alcoholic food. That's where the struggle is. But again, I'm reminded that the minute I work the program for that thing, God steps in and does for me what I can do for myself. And so the name of the game for me and victory has been, don't debate, surrender it, and just let God make it easy for you. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you were able to share. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Alice G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. Alice G., recovered compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you can, God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.